This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. We do it all for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. So right before the top of the hour, I was talking about how special and wonderful and beautiful and unique women are. And apparently that was controversial. Checking the old text line here, Tamara writes, okay, come on, Dory. That's ridiculous. The left is very pro-women. Now you are just being salacious for effect and a story. I am over your hyperbole. And then three emojis where the eyes are looking up, and then three where the mouth is a straight line. Come on. I mean, there are just some objective truths. The left is not pro-women. They don't even know what a woman is. Can you define a woman? No. No, like that woman, I can define a woman. The woman who was testifying before Congress yesterday, I played you this soundbite.
What do you say a woman is?
I believe that everyone can identify for themselves.
Okay. Do you believe then that men can become pregnant and have abortions?
Yes.
Okay. But the left is very pro-woman, according to Tamara. No, Tamara, look, I know you listen all the time, you text in all the time, and I appreciate that, Tamara. I love you. I really do. Even when you disagree with me. But the left is not pro-women. They don't know what a woman is. They don't mind if men compete, biological men compete against biological women in sporting events, destroying a lifetime of seeking to become a champion and rendering that an impossibility. I'll have a couple stories coming up in a few minutes about new stories in that arena. But no, the left is anti-woman. Come on. That's an objective truth when you can't even define what a woman is. And you want to make women and men the same on the spectrum. And they're not. You know, I have friends who had sons, who had boys, the same time my wife and I, our girls were little. And when our girls would get together with their girlfriends, it'd just be really nice. It's often competitive, you know, because most of the kids that we hung out with were athletes as well. But it's competitive. But my friends who had boys, when they would run into the room, it was like, remember the Tasmanian devil in the Bugs Bunny cartoons? Just a swirling tornado when the boys would come into a room. When the girls come in, hey, how you doing? Boys would come in, they'd just start fighting and wrestling, tumbling. They're built differently. They're wired differently. And our schools are trying to deny that. And our politicians are trying to deny that. And our families are not well served by that. I know a lot of fantastic single parents. And I know that, my closest business relationship in the world, he and his partner have been together for, gosh, as long as my wife and me. And they have kids. So their kids have two dads. This is a business relationship I've had for 25 years, my longest running business relationship. I think gay men can be great fathers. I think single parents can be great moms and dads. But I also believe that moms and dads and the unique things that we bring to families, my wife fills in all of my gaps. And I think she would agree that I fill in a lot of her gaps. And they're not gaps out of, willingness or choice to be lacking in some areas. We're just built differently. And what's so weird is that is considered a controversial statement. Acknowledging biology. It's so weird. We're in a weird world, Nicole. I don't know what to do with all of them. Should I bump up the sports stories that we have since I'm talking about this?
Might as well. Okay. Go for it.
All right, I was going to do this a little bit later, but in the Fast 15, but I'll just do it now. So a man, biological man, just absolutely demolished all of the female competitors to win a world surfing competition. And what's interesting is surfers as a group over the years have tended to be pretty liberal. But now the women are saying, well, this is so unfair. They don't have a chance competing against a biological man. And indeed, that's what's happening in these competitions. The biological man, who now goes by the name Sasha Jane Lowerson, won first place in both the open women's longboard and the open women's logger. And it was what they called a staggering point differential over all the biological women in the competition because of just the sheer physical advantage that this person had. And then in a skateboarding competition, and again, skateboarders as a group in general are pretty liberal, but they also are recognizing the sheer unfairness. A girl named Taylor Silverman, or a young woman named Taylor Silverman, she says, I'm done being silent. Because she just finished in second place to a biological man. And you don't make a lot of money in skateboard competitions. But this biological man got $1,000 in qualifiers, $3,000 for winning the finals, $1,000 for the best trick. So this person got $5,000 in prize money that was, you know, intended for female athletes. This is her quote. It was intended for female athletes. And she got, in second place, she got $2,750. So she should have gotten $5,000. She got $2,750. The girl who took third received $750 instead of $2,750 that second place got. And this one girl says that she's done being bullied into silence. She has contacted their sponsor, Red Bull, and said that they haven't even responded to her because it's such a third rail issue. I couldn't think of the brilliant phrase I was trying to think of. It is just an incredible third rail issue. So can we stop with this? The left loves and appreciates women. It's just silly because it's so patently untrue. Okay, let's get to stuff going on here locally, down in Tacoma. This sounds like a disaster to me. The police chief in Tacoma says that he has a plan of how to deal with violent criminals down there. Chief Avery Moore says, instead of sending violent criminals to jail, let's just get them services.
And we will say, sir, ma'am, we need you to partner with us to help us help you keep you out of jail. So these are some services that we can offer.
Okay, now if we're talking about misdemeanor crimes, I think we could have a pretty good conversation and reach some middle ground. But he specifically said that he wants this for violent criminals. For violent criminals. And I'm telling you, the reason that our region has become awash with crime is because criminals know they don't have to fear jail. And so all the drug addicts who have to commit crimes every day to feed their addiction, they come to Washington State. This man, Ron, told Fox 13 News that he thinks the police chief's plan is crazy because of how violent the streets have gotten in Tacoma.
I've seen security guards get beat up over there for the first time in my life, and I'm 76 years old. I had to go down to Bass Pro Shop and buy a pistol.
And Ron said he has seen a lot in his life, but he's never seen what he's seen since moving to Tacoma.
I've never seen anything like it, and I've seen some pretty gruesome stuff.
And so when the police chief says that he wants to avoid jail time for violent criminals, Ron says, come on.
I wish him all the luck in the world, but he's spending my money to try to do something that I know is not going to work. These drugs that these people smoke, I mean, they mess them up in the head. They do things they wouldn't have done before they got hooked.
But that's the new plan from the Tacoma police chief. Tacoma just had its 23rd homicide this year. A person found in an apartment last night. So might be time to start putting them in prison instead of finding ways to keep them out on the streets, which is the mania of the politicians around here. Up next in the Fastest 15, Nicole, in all of your scholastic career, not college, just K through 12, before you went to Arizona State for college, and where else?
I went to Bellevue as well, and Everett for a year, but my high school concluded in Blaine.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. How many times in your 13 years of K through 12 education did you and your classmates walk out of class and demand stuff?
Oh, never.
Not once?
Nah. We all kind of just got along. We were cool. Yeah, no protesting in Blaine.
You see, at Ballard High School, we never walked out of class. But now it seems to be a mania. They walk out over mask mandates. They walk out if there's no mask mandate. They walk out if there is a mask mandate. They're walking out about everything. Well, at Cleveland High School in Seattle, the teachers' union apparently got the principal fired because the principal said, you know, this contact tracing for COVID, it's not doing anything, which it wasn't. And so the principal said, we're not going to do the contact tracing anymore. Well, the teachers' union says, fire the principal. So they fired the principal because, of course, the teachers' unions, which are the biggest force against getting good education for kids in public schools, they run everything. They run everything the way the mob used to run everything in Vegas. So they fire the principal at Cleveland High School, and then they say, okay, well, we're going to move this woman into the principal's job. And the kids at Cleveland said, no, we can't have her either. And so they said, we're going to walk out of class on Friday, today. But then overnight, the principal that was just appointed and was supposed to start today said, hey, I'm out. If the kids are going to walk out because I am the principal, then I'm out. Here's one of the students who explained why they couldn't hire this woman to be the principal.
You specifically gave us Marnie Campbell, and that is not an option. I am looking directly at you, and I'm calling you out right now because that is not acceptable for Cleveland. Sorry. Miss Brown was fired because she was giving us the clarity that we needed and the clarity that we ask all of you to give us every day.
So she was fired because of the contact tracing thing. Then they hire somebody and the students say, we're going to walk out of class. And look, I'm all for kids being active and informed, but we do have the tail wagging the dog right now. And it seems to be almost as many days of walkouts as there are days of learning.
If everything's a 10, nothing's a 10. I mean, it's becoming barely a story when kids walk out now, right? So if you really want attention for the stuff that's really important for you, focus on that.
Right. And I don't know if I would have been politically aware or active or involved enough to walk out on any issue when I was in high school. I had a good time. I got an okay education.
I feel like kids are being taught that you don't have to accept anything, everything, which I get that, you can push back on things that you don't agree with in government and all of that stuff. But you also have to deal with what life throws at you, and nothing's fair. Life is not fair. And you just have to be an adaptable human being to some extent.
You know, that's a great, great. Because you can't do that when you're an adult. If I had walked out of my job every time something unfair happened to me, man, I would have missed a lot of days. But instead, I just stayed with it and I outlasted my adversaries. That's been my key to a long career. I outlast the people who spend every minute in management trying to get me fired, which is old regime present day management, fantastic. Best relationship ever. But there have been times, and you can't just walk out every time and expect
right, there's other ways to deal with things. So yeah. If you want to change something, there are other ways than just walking out. That's not the only way to solve a problem.
All right. And finally, in our fastest 50. Now, is Yellowstone, are they done now?
No. Nope.
There's another season to come, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's become one of my, I don't know if it's top five, certainly top 10 favorite shows of all time. It's just,
I had to beg you to watch that for,
I know it,
at
I know
least
it.
A year, maybe two.
You know what? I'm glad though, because my wife and I, we slammed through it in just a few weeks because we had 3 years worth to watch. And by the way, I've now watched 4 of the final 7 Ozark episodes after last night.
Wow, you're moving slow on that one.
I know, but we'll probably watch the last 3 tonight. That's so good too. Anyway, Yellowstone, I don't understand this. Did you try that 1889 prequel?
I haven't yet. I do plan to watch it at some point. Everybody raves about it that I've talked to. I haven't spoke with anybody that's watched it and thought it wasn't good. And I do like Tim and Faith. I think that I'm pretty curious, but I wanted to just watch the whole season. I didn't want to watch it week by week.
Well, and now they've announced another prequel set in 1932, called 1932, with Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren. I don't want to watch any of these. Yellowstone is the best. And I don't need prequels. I don't care if they put Tim McGraw, or is it Tim McGraw?
Yeah.
And Faith, yeah. First, and Harrison Ford. Kevin Costner's our guy. He's a friend of our show. Kind of.
I mean, he won't talk to us again, but he talked to us once. It's okay.
But he was fantastic. He was great. When he talked to us. He was the best.
And they anyway. Did just announce that the next season 5, will be late November.
You know what? I just thought of something. Let's draw up a business plan to submit to management, and let's keep our show from noon to 3, but let's do a Dory Monson show prequel that Cairo would air daily. We'll find somebody who can be a 32-year-old me to host it.
Okay.
You know, kind of a Harrison Ford type.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it's just a work in progress.
Yeah,
we'll
work
think
in
about
progress.
It. Okay, I got to go here because we got a big interview coming up. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast, 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 fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Hey, a true friend of our radio show, Cliff Mass, over at the University of Washington, he has written a controversial blog post about the university's diversity, equity, and inclusion. I love people who are willing to take on the man like that. Unless they're high school. Then I think it's cute. Okay, but no, we're going to talk to Cliff Mass about that coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, it's an issue we've been talking about increasingly the last several years, and that is how freedom of speech is increasingly under attack, both here locally and nationally. Our friend Cliff Mass, professor of atmospheric science at the University of Washington, he has written a very provocative blog post saying that freedom of speech and diversity is threatened at the University of Washington right now. Cliff Mass joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Always good to talk to you, sir.
Good to talk to you, Dory.
Hey, before I get to your blog post, can I ask you a quick weather question?
Of course.
I've been really chilly this May. Is that proof of coming global cooling, and are we in danger of 2,500-foot glaciers covering the Puget Sound area anytime in the next couple of years now?
No, I don't think so. And no? Right now, if mankind wasn't here, the next ice age is probably a few thousand years ahead. So it'll eventually happen, but I don't think you'll see it. So
unless they start eating healthier.
Right. Well, you'd have to eat pretty healthy to do that. Yep. But it's this is a very cold spring. It's probably the coldest in 50 years.
Yeah,
so,
that's crazy.
You're cold for a reason. So
yeah.
But the good thing is this weekend will be nice.
I was just curious because when it was really hot last summer, Jay Inslee said that was proof of the coming global warming. So I just wanted to know if this is proof of coming cooling. But I guess it only works one way.
No, I don't think so. But it is, but it has been cool. And this weekend will get much better. So
nice. Okay, well, that's not why I got you on. Faculty freedom of speech and diversity is threatened at the University of Washington. My wife and I met at the University of Washington 39. In fact, yesterday, Cliff, was the 39th anniversary of our first date as a couple of young Huskies. And our two older daughters graduated from the UW, and I have seen the steady decline in freedom of speech there. So what motivated you to write this blog post?
Well, the big issue right now is this legislation in the Faculty Senate that's now going to be voted by all faculty that will require all faculty to write a statement supporting this diversity, equity, and inclusion initiative here at the university. So they not only have to support it, but they have to give demonstrable proof that they are doing things to support this new approach. So that's the issue, a requirement.
You compared this to the loyalty oaths of the late 40s and early 50s.
That's right. We've been through this before, back in a different time. Politics were 180 degrees from now, perhaps. There is a requirement that all University of Washington faculty sign a loyalty oath and affirm they weren't communists. Well, you know, that was a tremendous problem. I mean, it was an impediment to freedom of speech. It pushed people to they compelled their speech to support a social political idea. That was wrong. And now we're doing it again. In this case, it's not an anti-communist type of deal, but rather the faculty have to affirm they support this highly politicized DEI initiative here at the University of Washington.
Well, and what you said is that this will also influence which students are admitted to the UW and the type of education they receive. Would incoming students be forced to sign some kind of pledge to diversity, equity, and inclusion?
No. This is about faculty now. But faculty...
How will it affect which students are admitted?
Well, I'll tell you how. Because as you politicize the university, and as this equity agenda becomes more powerful, that has a lot of implications. It's the implications on the kind of faculty that we have here and their viewpoints politically and socially. But also it does affect admissions. And this is something that's not talked about a lot. But, you know, if you have people that really believe in this agenda, there's a tendency to try to influence admissions. Even though it's illegal, it's still happening. And it happens when people have a certain, you know, political view and social viewpoint.
Here's what I find so dangerous about this. I personally believe that the diversity, equity, and inclusion agendas are counterproductive. The last few years, for the first time in my lifetime, Cliff, Americans perceive that race relations are getting worse. I think that the curriculum in our public schools, our K-12 schools, are teaching kids to dislike, maybe even hate each other based on their skin color. And for me, believing that at a place like the University of Washington or in our public schools at the K-12 level, this is the government ordering people on how they must think. And I don't know how any of this could pass a constitutional test for the government. I would understand if there's a private university or private high schools. But when the United States government is telling people you must think this way, then that is certainly a First Amendment violation, is it not?
Right. Yeah. I've talked to various groups, including the I-200 group, about this. And it does seem to represent compelled speech.
Right.
Which is, you know, a violation of the First Amendment. I think that's clear, and I think that this was challenged in court legally. I think that it would show to have tremendous problems. So I think you're right. I think it is a First Amendment issue.
But also just the whole push to begin with, because when they talk about equity, and you even write about this, equity in this context is meant as equal outcomes for all groups in society. It also means for equal outcomes for individuals, regardless of what effort is put forth. And now we're getting away from a meritocracy, which is what we should strive for, and just saying that regardless of what you put into it, everybody's going to get the same coming out of it. I think that's a really dangerous message.
Right. Well, I think the equity is the center of the problem. Let's face it. Most faculty, most people believe in equality, right? Equality is baked into the American concept of democracy.
Absolutely.
And most faculty believe in diversity. We are the most diverse country in the world, right? So that's good. And inclusion, well, we want to include everybody, right? That's fine. It's the equity that's the real problem. Equity is a very political term, this equal outcomes. And as soon as you do this, it's equal outcomes for each group. That's a part of this. And so it starts dividing people up by race, by sex, sexual orientation, ethnic background, you name it. And then we see rapidly gets into identity politics. It rapidly gets into giving preferences to one group over the other because of the color of their skin or the religion or whatever, right? And that's basically wrong. And that's basically in contradiction to the whole American idea of equality.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think that it's just dangerous for kids to learn this, because once you start telling them that you are victims, the deck is stacked against you, you really don't have a chance unless we, the government, lift you up. I would argue that the situation I came from, which was no dad, abject poverty as a kid, that I had a lot of things going against me, but I didn't have people telling me constantly that I was a victim. And I was able to scramble my way out of it. I think the more that message is pounded home to kids that you need our help, we're the government, we're here to help you, I just think it's dangerous. And I think we're seeing it with the results that's happening in our public schools right now.
In fact, it's worse than dangerous. It's counterproductive. I think what these policies do is it hurts the students, the kids they want to help the most. Like, for instance, my department, we on our main webpage, you know, we have this statement that, you know, our department is guilty of all kinds of unfortunate things dealing with minority groups, right? Then we have a class about how racist our discipline is and how historically racist it's been, right? And how we've done
atmospheric science is racist.
Atmospheric science is, right. So imagine yourself a minority student. Would you want to go to a department that says, we're not very good at this, we were historically racist? I mean, do you want to go to that place? I don't think so. You know, so we're not the only department that does this kind of thing. So it's I think it's very harmful. And the identity stuff, I'll tell you how that harms students. What we'll do is, you know, sometimes we'll allow students into the university that don't have the background that they should have to succeed. Just because they belong to a certain minority group, they come here, and they start getting into trouble. You know, it's not the support that they really should have. They should have probably gone to a community college for a few years and got their background, you know, their foundation solid, so they could do well here. But we don't do that. We get them in here just so it looks good, the number wise, in terms of, you know, the various groups, and then they flail and they fail. Okay, so we're damaging these people that could have succeeded because of this DEI type of approach. It's really problematic.
It looks good. In fact, I did a big study on this on my show a few years ago. It looks good if you only look at the admission numbers, but if you look at the graduation rate numbers, there's a huge chasm, and that's not serving anybody well. Okay, well, are you going to get in trouble for writing about this?
Well, hopefully not. In fact, I've gotten a surprising amount of support, surprisingly lack of pushback, and quite a bit of support. I mean, I'm expressing my my First Amendment right to speak about these issues. So hopefully I'm not going to get into trouble for it. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But it's worth taking a chance.
Your First Amendment rights have gotten you in trouble before, Cliff. That's what I love about you. You know that.
That's right. But I'm still here. So
okay.
Keep that in mind.
All right. Everybody should check it out. Just go to cliffmass.blogspot.com, and you'll see the piece that he has written. It is provocative, and it is necessary. Cliff, it's always good talking with you. I appreciate it.
Good to talk to you. Take care.
All right. Cliff Mass, professor of atmospheric science, University of Washington. Cliffmass.blogspot.com. It's important stuff. Freedom of speech and diversity threatened at the University of Washington. Check that out. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.
I can see you in the morning when you go to school.
We're just Pavlovian here.
Don't forget.
Andrew says, what are you talking about? And I said, schools. He goes, I know what that means. I like this. Here, bring it up, Andrew. It's good stuff.
And be like Johnny Too Good.
You know, he never shirks.
He never shirks.
He's coming along, that kid. Where have all the children gone in our public schools? According to the New York Times, over 1 million students have evaporated from the public school rolls in the United States over the last 2 years. Washington is real high on the list. 44,000 children have left the public schools in Washington, and that's leading to a lot of school districts. You know, Mukilteo, they just had a bunch of teacher layoffs because they had so many kids.
It was Marysville.
It was Marysville? Okay, thank you. I knew it was somewhere up north.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's Marysville. That's right. You're right. But they had so many kids who have left the school district, but they didn't apparently move to other districts because 44,000 kids have just left the public schools here in Washington. And 1 million nationwide. Now, seriously, can anybody tell me a business that could lose this many customers, be failing? I mean, in Washington State, half the kids fail basic English standards. 70% of the kids fail basic math standards. What other business, besides CNN, could fail so spectacularly and stay in business? And in the case of the schools, they keep saying, oh, just give us more money. This next infusion of cash. We know the last 1,000 infusions of cash have been a complete abject failure. But the next one will fix everything. Well, we've talked about this a lot. And we talked about it a little bit with Cliff Mass in the last segment. When you have schools that are obsessed with teaching kids to be racists, which is what critical race theory does. When you make kids after decades of advances in race relations, and now there's a curriculum that is designed to make kids dislike each other and sometimes even hate each other because of their skin color, has nothing to do with the content of their character, which is what critical race theory is all about. When you have schools that devote so much time to teaching second graders how they can, in just a couple of short years, cut off their breasts or their male genitalia and become trans, which will make them really super cool. If you want to be a superhero, start cutting off your body parts as soon as you're 13, and the state will help you. The schools will lead you right to the doctors who will mutilate children at little or no charge. Of course, a lot of parents are saying enough. But at some point, the taxpayers have to say enough and get control of the schools once again. So when the New York Times asks, where have all the public school children gone? They've gone to places that aren't as destructive right now with all of the agendas in the public schools. Okay, we're going to check the news for you and get some scary breaking news. And Dinesh D'Souza, producer of a controversial movie, will join me next here on the Dory Monson Show.